7, he made of himself no reputation. I'm going to preach tonight, today, this morning on he became lowly or he became of no reputation. As many of you would have, as we all have a reputation, if people, you were to randomly find somebody that knew my dad, they would say, among many other things, this is just what I'm using for the example, that he could fix cars and fix them right. Some of you in here are builders, construction workers, and people know you as someone who can build a house, and they build the best house in town. In fact, I didn't have this plan, but Brother Richard built my house. My electric bill is like $100 a month, no matter what. It's the best built house. It's sealed so great. But a lot of you have a reputation. Some of you are nurses or bankers or white collar, blue collar, whatever your job might be. Some people, time should last, they'll say, she was the happiest, nicest person I ever met. Or we've all said about people that have gone on, they were so peaceful and such a great person to be around. And a reputation in our carnal life that we live in is very important. It's extremely important to young people, listen to this. Your reputation, if you lose that, it takes a long time to get it back. It's easy to lose it, but it's very difficult to build it back up. So in our carnal Adam nature, our reputation is important, and it's something that we should esteem highly and do the best that we can on our jobs and whatever your trade is or whatever you do for work or even hobbies or extracurricular activities. You should give it your best so that your reputation is not hindered. But in contrast to that, when Jesus came from heaven above, the Bible tells us that he became meek and lowly. And this is the only God that lives and will ever, the only God that there will ever be. And so I want to take us today through the scripture, through the life of Jesus, as he went from the highest of glory in heaven with God and came down to earth meek and humble. And then, as we read in Philippians, God exalted him back to the highest, and he became lowly. What we read in Matthew 11:29, where it says meek and lowly, that word meek appears 4 times in the New Testament, and it's defined as pertaining to not being overly impressed by a sense of one's self-importance. It means, of course, gentle, humble, considerate, meek. And in most translations, it would probably be written as gentle. And the word lowly is the Greek word tapionos, which is 8 times in the New Testament. And what I could find has 3 distinct meanings. It could mean pertaining of being low social status, undistinguished and no account. It could mean being a servant in manner or subservient. And that word lowly could also mean being unpretentious or humble. And that's, to me, that third meaning there is the one that really applies to the characteristic of Jesus. And even in the book of Zechariah, it describes the coming Messiah as gentle. It uses that same word. And while Christ was meek and lowly, we have to be careful when we read that. A lot of times in the English language and in our modern world, we will lose sight of God's strength and power that he also had while he was being meek and lowly. Because God started in heaven with, Christ started in heaven with God. And when he came to earth, he didn't lose his God abilities. He just took upon himself the form of a servant and became meek and lowly. So I wanted to just make clear that just because it says he was meek and lowly doesn't mean that he didn't have, that he wasn't God, because he certainly was still God. What God is, what Christ is saying here when he says I'm meek and lowly, it says I'm exercising God's strength and I'm depending on the Lord rather than on my own self. That's what he did when he came to earth. He relied on the strength of God and not on his own self. This is the Lord God Almighty that we're speaking of here today. This was the creator that we read about in the book of Genesis. This is the sustainer and the provider, the overcomer, the deliverer, the one that was in the burning bush, the helper, the redeemer, the one you read through all 66 books of the Bible. This is the Lord Jesus Christ that we're talking about, the same God that has all power in heaven and in earth, and the same God that says, I have power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. This is the all-powerful, all-knowing, everything-inclusive God that we're talking of this morning, and he became lowly. John Holy Ghost, by holy men. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Listen, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He said, whatever you see, write in a book. He said, I turned to see the voice that spake unto me. And as I turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of those was one like unto the Son of Man. Listen, clothed with a garment down to his feet, a girt about with paps with a golden girdle. Listen, his head and his hairs were white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes was like a flame of fire. His feet was like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice was the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. Listen to what John did. John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth. I was dead, and behold, I live forevermore. Listen, amen. I have the keys of hell and death. This is the God that John saw. This is the same God that we're preaching about this morning. This is the God that we just sang about for 30 minutes. This is the God that lives right now, and he knows everything that's going on in this world. He knows what wars are happening. He knows what you're going through in your personal life. He knows what's in your mind and what you're dealing with and what you're struggling with. He is a powerful God. His feet are like fine brass, and his voice is like fire, and his words are like thunder, and he has a sword coming out of his mouth, and he has hair white like wool, and he is an almighty, sovereign, powerful God today. But he became lowly. Bible teaches he became of no reputation. And what we read in verses 6 through 8 of Philippians chapter 2 takes us through the lowly place that the Lord Jesus came to in his humble obedience. He was equal oneness with God and equality with God. And he has always existed as God. He is in very nature God. And Jesus, I want to be clear this morning, is not just equal with God. They're not on the same level or the same playing field. Jesus is God. John chapter 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word. I'm thinking of Brother Stevens this morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the same was in the beginning. How many remembers that? God, Jesus is 100% God. And you can't start any higher than that. And yet, as the part B of verse number 6 says, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And the easiest way, in my opinion, to understand this verse is through another translation that says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. But he did that for a reason. And he knew that God had to send someone to atone for all of our sins. Because there was only one perfect man in the whole Bible. The Bible teaches us that Job was a blameless man. But there was only one perfect man in all of Scripture, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he lived 33 and a half years upon this very earth that we're standing on today, and lived a perfect, sinless, spotless life so that our sins could be forgiven through his death on the cross. Me and my family just finished studying the book of Exodus, the plagues, and the eventual exodus of God's people out of Egypt. And the 10th plague is the one we're getting ready to celebrate in a few weeks, where they took a blameless, spotless lamb and slaughtered it and put the blood over the doorpost. And the death angel passed over. And the interesting thing about that scripture, and I tell my kids almost every day, that anywhere you read in the Bible, in fact, are they here? Oh, Micah. Anytime you read in the Old Testament or anywhere, you should always be thinking about Jesus. When you read the Old Testament, don't let your brain go pre-Jesus, because it's all Jesus through the whole Bible. And the interesting thing about that 10th plague, and it would be a wonderful homework, but to read that story. But the 10th plague, it's all about the same thing that Jesus did on the cross. Those stories are literally the same thing. And Jesus took the 10th plague upon himself in the New Testament. And that's just so amazing. I lost my place. But Jesus is our example, and he did not use his position as God for selfish purpose, but rather to come and be a servant on this earth. He traveled to the lowest place, making of himself no reputation, as verse number 7 says, starting at the highest place as God with God. He traveled to the lowest place here on earth. In fact, even lower than just being on earth, and even lower than just submitting to death, he submitted to the cross, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But the Bible teaches he made of himself no reputation. We all have a reputation this morning, but Jesus coming to earth chose to have no reputation. All of you know today that on the cross, Jesus could have called legions of angels out of heaven to rescue him off of that cross. It would have took 1 second. It would have been no problem, no match for those Roman soldiers. They could have delivered Jesus off that cross. He could have at any time snapped his fingers and caused the people that were beating him and cursing him and spitting on him and caused them to stop with no problem. But the Bible teaches that Jesus chose to become of no reputation on this earth. And he didn't use his God abilities and his God power to push against what God had instructed him to do, but he took upon the form of a servant, the form of a bond servant, the form, description of that word servant is a slave, and he took upon that, upon himself, and became no reputation, the lowest place possible for our sins. It doesn't mean that he stopped being God. He was still God. He just added servant to who he was. And he gave up his right as God in order to become that servant. One commentary said, Jesus became a nobody. And he made himself nothing. And he willingly gave up all his rights and took on the very nature of a servant. Jesus demonstrated this in a powerful way at the Last Supper when he removed his outer clothing, got on his knees, and washed his disciples' feet. And this was the first part of a downward step of Jesus becoming lowly.